championship game between the Cleveland Browns and the Detroit Lions. Brought to you by America's most widely acclaimed new car, the bold new Pontiac, and your authorized Pontiac dealer. Good afternoon, football fans. This is Bill McColgan speaking to you from Briggs Stadium in Detroit, Michigan, where this afternoon the Browns and the Lions battle it out for the world supremacy of professional football. Both the Lions and the Browns are seeking to add luster to already glorious comebacks this year. The Lions, after winning the Western Division title in 1954, dropped all the way to the cellar in 55. A gallant effort to return to the top fell one game short just a year ago when they lost the division crown to the Chicago Bears. But this season, under their new head coach, George Wilson, the Lions made it all the way back, and they did it the hard way. In their last four games, they had to come up with victories over the Green Bay Packers, the Browns, the Chicago Bears, and the San Francisco 49ers. The Lions have definitely been a second-half football team over that span. In the second half of those four games, they have allowed a total of only 13 points while scoring 76 themselves. Last week's comeback at San Francisco was truly one of the most courageous chapters in pro football history. Trailing 27-7 early in the third period, the Lions refused to give up. They kept fighting back and finally won it by a score of 31-27. And that's the reason they're here in Briggs Stadium this afternoon meeting the Browns. The Browns' comeback was of a different type. They won the championship in 1955, but fell to fourth place in the Eastern Division last year with a record of 5-7. Some experts said it would be at least 5 years before the Browns would be back in the title picture. Few gave them a chance of making it this year. But the squad, which includes 12 rookies and 5 second-year men, had other ideas. They beat the defending champion New York Giants 6-3 in the regular season opener, and that was the psychological lift they needed. Having beaten the champs, they felt they could go all the way. They did, but it wasn't easy. They had to come from behind to beat Los Angeles in a real pressure game at Cleveland, and also to tie the Redskins in another one at Washington. They were led by Tommy O'Connell, a quarterback who many said was too small to make the grade in the professional ranks. It was said that O'Connell didn't have the speed nor the maneuverability to cope with the present-day defenses in pro football. Well, Tommy answered those critics by leading the National Football League in passing as he sparked the Browns to the Eastern Division crown. Speaking of O'Connell, he suffered a severe ankle sprain in one of the final games of the year, this one against the Chicago Cardinals, when he was tackled from behind by Leo Sugar. O'Connell has not seen action since then, but he, of course, has been working out with the Browns for the past couple of weeks, and he has been nominated by head coach Paul Brown to start in this big football game this afternoon. Tommy, of course, during his collegiate days at the University of Illinois, was the Big Ten's top passer. The Browns and the Lions are no newcomers to the championship game. They have met no fewer than 3 times in the past 6 years. They battled it out at Municipal Stadium in Cleveland in 1952, Detroit winning that one by a score of 17-7. Doak Walker, now retired, came up with a big play in that football game, a 67-yard touchdown run. The next year, the scene changed to here at Briggs Stadium in Detroit. That was 1953, when the Lions again defeated the Browns 17-16. Lou Groza of the Browns kicked 3 field goals, and Chick Jagaty scored a touchdown for Cleveland, but the Lions won it in the final minutes on a 33-yard pass play from Bobby Lane to Jim Doran. Back in Cleveland in 1954, Otto Graham was the big gun, running for 3 touchdowns, passing for the same number as the Browns defeated the Lions 56-10. And here again this afternoon, it's the Browns and the Detroit Lions battling it out for the World Football Championship. A crowd of more than 56,000 expected here at Briggs Stadium this afternoon. Standing room has been allowed by Commissioner Bert Bell, so that puts the crowd up over 56,000. It, however, is not the largest crowd in Briggs Stadium history for a football game, as some 58,000 came here to see the San Francisco 49ers meet the Lions back in a regular season game in 1954. It's a good day for football. The sun is shining here in Detroit. The temperature is 32 degrees, and the wind 18 miles an hour from the west-southwest. The Cleveland Browns, in the toss about 15 minutes ago, won it, as Mike McCormick, their offensive captain, called it. And they'll receive the opening kickoff. They'll defend the north goal. Detroit will kick and will defend the south goal. The Detroit Lions come into the game with a record of 9-4. The Browns have won 9, lost 2, and tied 1. We'll return with the starting lineups in just a moment. Right now, your Pontiac dealer has the answer for those of you who are looking for a low-priced car.
Got those small car blues? Then here's good news. The Pontiac Chieftain beats the best of the low price three, and for less money. It's bigger. The Pontiac beats them in size with a whopping 122-inch wheelbase. It's more powerful. Pontiac beats them in power with dueled action Tempest 395 performance. It's more advanced. Pontiac beats them with the boldest engineering advances in 50 years and luxury.
Matching interiors, even wall-to-wall carpeting.
Let your Pontiac dealer show you why the Pontiac Chieftain beats the best of the low price three for less money. See your Pontiac dealer soon.
Lions head coach George Wilson is in his first year in that capacity. He took over as boss of the Lions just 2 days before the preseason schedule opened when Buddy Parker suddenly resigned. Parker, of course, later went on to the Pittsburgh Steelers. The job that Wilson turned in with the Detroit team definitely must be considered as one of the top coaching jobs of the year. Wilson played professional football with the Chicago Bears, but he has been in the Detroit organization for the last 9 seasons. Of course, most football fans the nation over are familiar with the record of Paul Brown. His coaching record covers service at Severn Prep down in Maryland, where one of his A-stars was Slade Cutter. Then he returned to his native Massillon, Ohio. From there, he moved on to Ohio State, then to the Great Lakes Naval Training Station during World War II, and he has been head coach of the Cleveland team since 1946, when the club was organized as a member of the now-defunct All-America Conference. In that time, the Browns have been out of a title game just once. During their 4 years in the All-America Conference, they won the conference championship on all four occasions. They entered the National Football League in 1950, and since then have been in the title game in all seasons except last year, when they finished with a 5-7 record and finished fourth place in the Eastern Division. That record, incidentally, marked the first time that a Paul Brown coached team lost more games than it won. We spoke a while ago about Tommy O'Connell, the Browns quarterback, and of course the big boy in the Detroit attack this afternoon will be Tobin Grote, who has succeeded Bobby Lane as quarterback of the Detroit Lions. And now our national anthem. The color guard is now marching out to the flagpole, which is in center fielder at Briggs Stadium for the baseball season. And now the combined high school band's international anthem. Pleasure to introduce to you a young fellow from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, whom you've heard on many coast-to-coast sports broadcasts. He's been in the business for some 21 years, starting at the age of 17. For the past 2 years, he has been handling the telecast of the Green Bay Packers. It's my pleasure to introduce for the play-by-play in the first period and the starting lineups, Ray Scott.
Thank you very much, Bill McCaughan, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are. And welcome, by way of NBC Radio, to this Professional World Championship game. Let's waste no further time. Let's tell you about the probable starting lineups. When the visiting Cleveland Browns have the ball, Art Hunter of Notre Dame will be the center. At the guard positions will be Jim Ray Smith from Baylor. At the left guard and at the right guard, we expect to see Herschel Forrester, but they may change around. Herschel from Southern Methodist. At the tackles, the veteran and great Lou Groza. At left tackle, Lou from Ohio State. At right tackle, Mike McCormick from the University of Kansas. At the end positions, Pete Brewster, Darryl Pete Brewster of Purdue at left end, Preston Carpenter of Arkansas at right end. In the backfield, Tommy O'Connell, of whom Bill McColgan has already spoke, will be at quarterback, Tommy from the University of Illinois. At the running back positions, the great Jimmy Brown, unanimous rookie of the year this year at fullback, Syracuse. Chet Hanulak at the other running back position from Maryland, and Ray Renfro will be a flanker. Ray, the speedster from North Texas State. When the Detroit Lions have the ball, up front it'll be at center Frank Gatzke. At the guards, Harley Sewell and Stan Campbell. We'll tell you more personal statistics later. At the guard, at the tackles, Lou Kreekmer and Charlie Arney. At the ends, Jim Doran and Steve Junker. Ken Russell may start in place of Charlie Arney at right tackle. In the offensive backfield, Tobin Roat at quarterback. At the running back positions, Gene Gedman and John Henry Johnson. And the flanker, Howard Hopalong Cassidy. There will be others in that offensive cast as well for the Detroit Lions. Defensively, the Browns will use Bill Quinlan and Len Ford at tackles, Bob Gain and Don Colo at the guards. The linebackers will be Vince Costello, Walt Michaels, and Galen Fitz. In the defensive backfield, Warren Lahr, Kenny Kahns, Junior Wren, and Don Paul. Defensively, the Detroit Lions will use up front. At the end positions, Darius McCord and Gene Cronin. At the tackles, Ray Krause and Gil Maines. The linebackers will be Joe Schmidt and their defensive captain, Bob Long and Roger Zatkoff. In the defensive backfield, we expect to see Carl Karalevitz and Jack Christensen at the corners, and playing the deep spots, Yale Larry and Terry Barr. If you follow the Lions and are wondering about Jim David, he has been handicapped by an injury. He may or may not start. That's the way we expect to see these teams line up. So that just about takes care of the probable starting lineups. We'll be set for the kickoff in just a moment. This year, the bold new Pontiac is so new and different, you have to drive it to believe it.
Driving has changed. It's smoother,
easier,
and much more comfortable.
Yes, driving has changed. And Pontiac changed it.
Driving has changed and the Pontiac changed it. Driving's exciting again.
Drive the bold new Pontiac and discover the highway's most advanced ideas from the industry's hottest engineering team. Performance, ride, and handling so unlike anything else on wheels, you have to drive it to believe it.
Driving has changed and the Pontiac changed it. Driving's exciting again. See your Pontiac dealer, take a test ride today. Discover driving has changed when you're driving the Pontiac way.
See your Pontiac dealer for a drive and a deal you'll never forget.
We come back on the air here, direct from Briggs Stadium, with the roar in the background of this crowd of over 56,000 as their hometown heroes, announced and described over the public address system a moment ago as the Gas House Gang. Let us tell you now of the officials for today's championship game. The referee will be Ron Gibbs of St. Thomas. The umpire will be Joe Connell of the University of Pittsburgh. The headlinesman will be Dan Tehan of Xavier. The back judge, Cleo Deal of Northwestern. And the field judge, Don Looney of TCU. Just about every probability is taken care of for a game of this importance. And so we tell you of the alternate team of officials standing by in case they are needed. The alternates are George Rennicks of Minnesota, Jim Beersdorfer, who did not play in college, the veteran Charlie Berry of Lafayette, and Chuck Sweeney of Notre Dame. Those are the officials for today's game. This meeting between the Lions and the Browns today for the professional championship holds more than a little drama. The teams have met already once in the regular season. The Detroit Lions won by a score of 20-7. Followers of the Lions, of course, will be missing someone by the name of Bobby Lane. The great Bobby Lane suffered a fractured ankle against the Cleveland Browns earlier this season. Tobin Roat has carried on nobly since that time. This will be their fourth meeting this year as they played two preseason games and divided honors. The Browns, and it's hard to mention the Browns in speaking of them in a negative sense, but we must report correctly that the Browns have never won at Briggs Stadium. only a preseason game back in 1950. In championship games between these two teams, in 1952, the Detroit Lions won by a score of 17-7 over Cleveland. In 1953, in one of the great thrillers of professional championship history, the Lions won it in the last moments by a score of 17-16. And then a victory that I am sure Coach Paul Brown of the Browns marks down in his little book as one of the sweetest of his long and colorful coaching career, the 1954 championship game, when the Cleveland Browns won it by a score of 56-10. Now, the Browns, since 1950, have appeared in seven championship games. They have been the world champions of professional football three times. In fact, they have missed playing in only one championship game since coming to the National Football League, and that was last year. The Lions, since 1950, have appeared in four championship games. Two of them they have won. But they have also been world champions on three occasions because they were the champs way back in 1935. These teams are well scouted. In addition to the games that they have played against each other when they have had, of course, their personal observations to fall back on, they have exchanged film just for the purpose of getting ready for today's game. The Browns requested to see the film of the game between the Lions and the 49ers, the playoff game, won by Detroit just a week ago, 31-27. The Lions, on the other hand, wanted to see the film of the game between the Browns and the New York Giants, last year's professional champions. The Browns, you see, won that one, coming from behind, 34-28. Physically, both teams are generally speaking in good condition. We have already told you that Bobby Lane, of course, will not play. Jim David may possibly see some action. Chardiani has been hampered as well. On the other hand, the Cleveland Browns have been without the services of their quarterback, Tommy O'Connell. Bill McCaughan has already mentioned that. As of now, he is nominated to start at the offensive position. Filling in for him has been their great young rookie quarterback this year, Milt Plum of Penn State. Other than that, Paul Brown, I think, can pronounce his team in good condition. Right now, the referee, Ron Gibbs, and the umpire, Joe Connell, are at the 50-yard line. The co-captains of the two teams are there to shake hands, and the results of the coin toss will be made known in a moment. Right now, referee Ronald Gibbs is indicating to co-captains of the Cleveland Browns that they have won the toss. Their co-captains for Cleveland, Don Colo, defensive right tackle, and Mike McCormick, the offensive right tackle. For Detroit, middle linebacker Joe Schmidt, offensive quarterback Tobin Roach. The Browns have won the toss and have elected to defend the goal to our left, the north goal. The Detroit Lions will probably use Jim Martin to kick off. Number 47, Jim from Notre Dame, 6'2", 223. This is his eighth year in professional football, makes his home in Anaheim, California. And so from across the field, the blue jersey clad Detroit Lions break their huddle. Jim Martin is walking to the ball. The Cleveland Browns, in the uniform of the visiting team, white with dark numerals, orange helmets, are taking their position preparing for this opening kickoff. From Briggs Stadium in Detroit, the championship of professional football will be decided this very beautiful afternoon, considering that it is December, the sun is shining. The field is in pretty good condition, considering the rain of the last week. In deep receiving position to the goal line to our left, as we are high on the west side of Briggs Stadium, will be Jimmy Brown and Milt Campbell. Kicking off, Jim Martin. The roar of the crowd is now subdued. They're waiting. Jim Martin comes to the ball. His boot is high, sails deep and far over the end line. It'll be an automatic touchback. First down and 10, the Cleveland Browns will put the ball in play from their own 20-yard line, moving left to right here in the first period. And we'll pick up their starters for you just as soon as we can. Starting at quarterback will be Tommy O'Connell. Lou Carpenter will start in place of Chet Hanulak. Lou from Arkansas, brother of Preston. Jimmy Brown will be at the other running back position, and Ray Renfro will be an inside flanker on the right. The right end is Preston Carpenter, and the left end split is Brewster, and O'Connell fades the pass on the first play. He throws deep and out to the left, and Brewster has it at the sidelines and is belted out of bounds immediately after a gain of 17 yards to the 37 or possibly 38-yard line of Cleveland. A down-and-out pass pattern on the first play finds Tommy O'Connell hitting Pete Brewster. He's run out of bounds by Carl Karolowitz of the Detroit Lions secondary. And so the Browns are 1-for-1 in the passing department. First and 10, the ball at the inbounds marker, far side of the field, at their own 37-yard line. Up front, Art Hunter's at center. The guards are Forrester and Jim Ray Smith, Lou Groza, Mike McCormick at the tackles. We've already told you of the ends. They're both split this time. O'Connell under center. The snap, pitch going to the left side and swinging outside of end and bellowed out of bounds at the 43-yard line is Jimmy Brown. Karolowitz again in on the defensive play. The gain is beyond the 40 to the 43-yard line. Out of bounds on the far side of the field. It is a gain from the 37 to the 43 of 6. Second down, 4. Calling the defensive signals for the Detroit Lions is Joe Schmidt. McCord is playing at the one-end position. At the other end is Gil Maines. Second down, 4, O'Connell under center. The snap, pitch out to the right, coming outside is Carpenter. He is belted and spun down at the 44.5-yard line. Lou Carpenter. Coming up from the secondary is Yale Larry with help from Joe Schmidt, who came over from his middle linebacker position. Paul Brown will be alternating his guards as per usual, sending in instructions prior to every play. The guards alternating are Jim Ray Smith and Fred Robinson. Again on the last play of a yard and a half, it is third down and a short 3 yards to go. Renfro is an outside flanker and the ends are tight. O'Connell pitches to Carpenter. Trying to go outside to the left, he gets up to about the 42-yard line. He'll be very close to a first down. Jimmy Brown. Out to the left side. The ball has not been moved as it is near the out of bounds on the far side of the field because it is that close to a first down. No indication as yet from the officials that they'll have a measurement. The ball is now brought in to the inbounds marker. It is fourth down and about a half yard short of a first down. And the Browns send in their punting formation. After taking the opening kickoff, Cleveland moves to a first down on the first play of the game when quarterback Tommy O'Connell hit left-hand Pete Brewster on a down-and-out pass to the left for 17 yards. Dropping back in twin safety for Detroit, Yale Larry and Terry Barr. Now the Browns will line up first as if they're in a T and then immediately go back to a punt formation. It'll find Kenny Kahn's punting from the Cleveland 31. The pass from center is true. The kick is a wobbly one off to the right. Barr watches it land at the 25, rolls back to the 20. He picks it up and is downed immediately at the 10-yard line. He was driven back from the 11, is where the ball will be placed, as Terry Barr elected to handle that punt with three Browns standing by, led by Paul Wigan, their defensive left end. A 41-yard punt. First and 10, Detroit has the ball for the first time in this game from their own 11-yard line. We're early in the first period. There is no score. The championship of professional football at stake at Briggs Stadium in Detroit. The Lions, first and 10 from their own 11-yard line, the ball at the inbounds marker near side of the field. Quarterback Tobin Roat immediately splits both ends and flanks Cassidy out to the right side. The snap to Roat over left tackle, swinging now wide to the left and being caught for a loss of one is Gene Gedman. Walt Michaels is the first man of Cleveland to hit him. It is a loss of a half yard back, let's call it the 10-yard line, a loss of one, second down 11. Calling the defensive signals is Walt Michaels for Cleveland. Second down, 11. After 2.5 minutes of play in the first period, there is no score. The Lions have the ball. Coming up now, their second play from scrimmage from their own 10-yard line. Split out to the left is Jim Doran. Again, it is Gedman off left tackle. He finds a big hole, comes to the 15, to the 20, and spins to the 20.5. Don Paul in on the defensive play for Cleveland. Gene Gedman from the University of Indiana makes his home now in Detroit, Michigan, native of Duquesne, Pennsylvania. Shy of a first down by a half yard, the ball is placed right on the 20-yard line, inbounds marker near side of the field. It is third down and less than a yard for Detroit. The Browns have the only first down of the game. We're forced to punt. Detroit now has it on third down. Doran again splits left. Cassidy is an outside flanker to the right side. Gedman over left guard, spins away from one tackler. He may or may not have the first down. It's that close. Walt Michaels came booming in there to bring him down. And so players now along with officials surround the ball. We will now have an official timeout for a measurement. The chains come in from the near side of the field. down by inches at the 21-yard line. So the gain was just a half yard, but enough for Detroit to even up the first down department. They have their first one. Tobin Roat at quarterback. Gedman, John Henry Johnson at the running backs. Cassidy this time comes out of the huddle and flanks to the right side. The right end is Steve Junker. He split about a yard. Doran split left about 10 yards. The snap. John Henry Johnson over right guard to the 25, to the 30. Swings to the left, 35, 40-yard line. John Henry Johnson broke over a big hole on the right side of the Browns line. Swung out to the left. He's finally brought down by Don Paul of the secondary and Galen Fisk, the linebacker. John Henry Johnson carries for a Cleveland first down, just shy of the line 40 by a half yard. And again, it's Walt Michaels setting up the defense for Cleveland. A 19-yard run for John Henry Johnson. Again, Cassidy will be a flanker to the right. Junker and Doran are split at ends a couple of yards. The snap, and Roat fades to pass. He looks, he throws over the middle, and it is complete at the Browns 40-yard line to right end Steve Junker, who cut across the middle and made a tremendous catch right in front of Kenny Kahns, who made the tackle. So Roat is one for one in the passing department, and the Lions are in Cleveland Brown territory at the 40-yard line. First down and 10, Detroit. There is no score after 5 minutes of play in the first period. This is the first time that either team has been able to penetrate beyond the 50. The Lions, first down and 10 at Cleveland's 40-yard line. Jim Doran splits to the right. Cassidy will flank outside Steve Junker now, who is lined up at left end. The ends have switched. Tobin Roat under center. A four-man Cleveland line, three linebackers tight, and coming to the outside is Gedman. He gets away from one man, but he's caught after a short gain of one. Swinging outside his own left tackle, running laterally, he's pinned down by Don Paul, who plays the right corner, along with Vince Costello and Junior Wren. A gain just across the 40 to the 39-yard line. A gain of one. Second down, nine. The interior offensive lineman for Detroit, Lou Kreekmer of William & Mary at left tackle. Kenny Russell is at right tackle. The guards are Harley Sewell and Stan Campbell. And Stephen Brown is at center. Cassidy flanks outside the right end, Steve Junker. Jim Doran is split left. Roque fades the pass on second down, nine. He hits his man at the 26-yard line, Doran. He falls forward to the 25 as he's tackled. Don Paul makes the tackle. As the left end, Jim Doran made a move as if to go deep, but he stopped, button-hooked, took the strike, and it's a first down for Detroit at the 26-yard line as the ball is placed down at the inbounds marker. The defender that time slipped as he came to make the defensive play. The field is in, as we told you prior to the start of the game, excellent condition considering the weather, but it has its slippery spots. Cassidy is a flanker way outside to the right this time, and only the left end, Doran, is split. First and 10 at the 26-yard line of Cleveland. Detroit's Tobin Roat under center. No score in the game, first quarter. A fake to Johnson, and Gedman on a trap play over the right side. Comes up to the 22-yard line, and there he's thrown back very hard by four Cleveland Brown players led by Vince Costello and Galen Fisk, two of the linebackers. The fake that time went to the first man through, John Henry Johnson. The handoff went actually to Gene Gedman. The forward progress is marked at 23-yard line, so it is a gain of three. Second down, seven. Detroit in possession at the Cleveland Brown 23-yard line. Unofficially, 7 minutes, 45 seconds remaining in the first quarter. There is no score. Up along, Cassidy flanks outside to the right, and again, Tobin Roat has his right end tight, and Jim Doran split left about 8 yards, and Roat fades to pass on second down, seven. He throws deep for Cassidy. He's in the end zone. It is incomplete. Warren Lahr went down with Cassidy, who, as he crossed the goal line, had about 2 steps on Lahr, but the ball thrown high as Cassidy was in the deep right corner of the end zone enabled Lahr to get down and break it up as both he and Cassidy went up for it. The pass is incomplete. It is now third down and seven. Gedman leaves the game. He is replaced by Dave Middleton. Dave from Auburn is going to line up as a flanker to the right side. The right end Junker is tight. Doran is split left. And Roque fades the pass on third down. He looks. He throws. It is incomplete for the flare man. Out to the right side, covered by Lahr, John Henry Johnson. Middleton went fairly deep and was covered beautifully. The swing pass was thrown to the fullback, John Henry Johnson. It was incomplete. And so now with fourth down at about seven, into the game comes Jim Martin. He will apparently attempt a field goal. The attempt, with Tobin Roach holding, will come from the Cleveland 31-yard line. Midway in the first quarter, there is no score. The Lions right now are going to try and score. The snap, the kick. It is good. The score, the Detroit Lions 3, the Cleveland Browns nothing.